Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanny.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
Jonathan strikes again. She's on a hat-trick. She comes at Molyneux. Catch is taken by Perry.
The Australian women's cricket team win their fifth T20 World Cup title in front of a magical crowd at the MCG.
Welcome to The Scoop. We are the cricket podcast dedicated to the women's game. Now we're at the pointy end of WBBL 06. We've got four semi-finalists locked in. LJ, who's in?
We have the Melbourne Stars finish top of the table. They will play the Perth Scorchers on Wednesday night. And then the Brisbane Heat, aiming for that three-peat, take on the Sydney Thunder on Thursday.
Very good. It's going to be an absolute cracker. So we chatted to Team of the Tournament and Melbourne Stars member Alana King just before. And of course, Kristen Beams is helping us look ahead to those mouth-watering semi-final clashes. But first things first, LJ, what was your favourite moment of last weekend?
It was seeing the Renegades pick up one last win for the tournament. It's been a really tough year for them. So to come out and pull off that run chase against the Sydney Sixers was remarkable. Lizelle Lee finally hit her straps for the tournament, and Courtney Webb, brilliant again with the bat, but that catch of the summer. How about you, Em?
And for me, I think it was the very next day with the Sydney Sixers facing a very tough road to get into the finals. I think Elisa Healy knew that it was impossible, but it didn't stop her. She came out at North Sydney Oval and put on a show for all the fans in magenta. She hit a 48-ball 100 and finished on 111 off 52 balls. So she was absolutely smoking the ball to all parts of the ground, and it was an absolute joy to watch. And LJ, it's not just finals week in the WBBL Village, it is also awards week. So we've got the Team of the Tournament already announced, as well as the Player of the Tournament and Rebel Young Gun. So Sophie Devine's gone back to back. She is once again Player of the Tournament. And Darcy Brown, the young quick from the Adelaide Strikers, is the Rebel Young Gun this year. LJ, you're a selector on the Team of the Tournament panel. Are you able to talk us through what the top order looks like?
Absolutely. So myself, Mel Jones, Lisa Stelaker, and Australian selector Sean Flegler have been having regular discussions through the season, had a big meeting on Monday, and knuckled down our Team of the Tournament. And the top three is actually identical to last year. We've got Sophie Devine and Beth Mooney as the openers for different clubs this year, but again at the top of the order, followed by Meg Lanning, again new club, this time at the Stars, and we named her captain of our team too after steering the Stars into the finals for the first time.
Sounds like a pretty handy top order to me. And what about in the middle order? A few all-rounders in there?
Absolutely. We've got a couple of internationals to join Devine. We did keep it to a limit of three overseas players in keeping with the tournament rules. So Heather Knight was an absolute lock for number four. She's been tremendous, helping the Thunder into the finals this season. Picked up some wickets with her off spin as well. She was followed by Nat Siver, one of the leading wicket takers in the whole comp, who has just been brilliant for the Melbourne Stars. She slots in at number five. And followed by one who I don't think many people would have picked prior to the start of the tournament at number six, the Heat's Laura Kimmins, who has just become the ultimate finisher for the Heat. She's striking at 200, which is ridiculous. And she's earned her spot alongside our guest on today's show at number 7, Alana King, the leggy who has also been whacking a few sixes.
Yeah, it's been great to see a few smokies in there. And there's also a few bowlers in the team of the tournament that probably not many people would have picked, hey?
There are, yes. We've got the former Australia pacer Sarah Coit as the sole Adelaide striker in the team. She was, again, one of the equal leading wicket takers and had a superb tournament with the ball. One player we may not have expected at the start of the tournament, coming in at number 9, was the Perth Scorchers' Tennille Peschel, who has had her best ever season with the ball. With Sophie Devine bowling a bit less this year, she's really stepped up and led that pace attack brilliantly to get them into the finals. And rounding out the pace attack is Thunder young gun Hannah Darlington, who had a breakout first year last year, but what really impressed the selection panel was the fact that she backed it up this year and went even better right at the top of the wickets table, brilliant at the death, had that superb Yorker to bowl Meg Lanning, and that's what saw her claim that final pace spot. And the last spot at 11 went to a spinner, the Thunder's Sam Bates, another person who may not have been an obvious choice at the start of the season, but has been critical for the Thunder in getting them through to the finals. And she just edged out Jess Johnson for that left arm bowling position. And we did also pick 12th with young Darcy Brown.
And the team of the tournament was all unveiled in a very special night in the WBBL Village, which was pretty unique. It's not often that we would have all the teams and all the players in the one spot. So it was good to all come together in the Village on the eve of the semi-finals. We're now lucky enough to be joined by Melbourne Stars leg spinner Alana King from the WBBL Village. Kingy, thanks for joining us on The Scoop. A couple of random questions to get you going. Firstly, we want to know, how many coffees are you drinking in the WBBL Village at the moment?
I would stick to just the one, although coffee really doesn't do anything for me. It's just more of a social thing and you kind of look good, so I'll have a latte in the morning and that's about it.
And what was your first job?
First job was the tennis coach at my local club. I've played there since I was 5 years old, and when I was a legal age to work, my coach asked me if I wanted a job and I was like, absolutely. So it wasn't anything too strenuous. It was more just picking up all the balls and bagging the courts and all that. But, I learned the ropes really quickly and he got me on board, which I still love and I help him out to this day.
And what is the best holiday you've ever been on?
Best holiday? Oh, that's not fair. Surely every holiday is the best holiday. Like you get out and about. Best holiday, I think, as a person who's travelled a fair bit, been lucky enough, I think last year my Europe trip was amazing. I got to spend five weeks in Europe, exploring a little bit of that. And there's definitely places that I will love to go back and explore more of Europe, absolutely.
What were you like as a high school student?
A kid who just wanted to play sport and picked sport just to miss class pretty much for the day. Any sport that came up at school, I was like, yep, I'm going to sign up for this. And I just tried to miss as much school as I can. So, yeah, it wasn't my thing being in a classroom. I'd rather be on a pitch or on an oval. So, yeah, that was me.
And Kingy, onto the Melbourne Stars. You've been with the Stars since WBBL 01. Are you able to just tell us a little bit about why you love the club and your early memories of the first days with the Stars?
Yeah, I guess all clubs will say that they're a family club, but I truly believe that the Stars are actually a big family, whether it's just within the players and the support staff, but it's more the staff in the office as well. I think there's plenty of nights where we've all got together, had dinner, had a couple of drinks, and you actually get to know them as people rather than what they do as a job for us. And I've become pretty close with a few of them. And, I just have loved being in green from 01. And it's been such a roller coaster ride. And it's really nice to taste a bit of success this season. I guess not making finals at all for the first 5 years. And then WBBL 06, we get a few new players in. We get Meg back, which is awesome. New coach as well, and I think it's just really rejuvenated the team, and someone who has been there from 01, it's just you've seen a massive shift in what the team's all about and how we play our brand of cricket, which is just so attacking. It's free. A lot of the girls are playing with plenty of freedom, including myself, including Meg. I don't think I've seen her hit a ball that hard and that cleanly before, and that just comes from the confidence side of things. And yeah, I think Trent has just instilled a lot of belief in us, and we are better than what we shelter ourselves to be, I guess. So it's just been, yeah, it's just been quite refreshing, and it's, yeah, and I guess winning does help. So it brings everyone a bit closer. Yep, we didn't have the start to the tournament we wanted with a few washouts, but that really didn't get in our way. We were there to play our brand, and it's taken us to the top of the table, which is something we should be really proud of, and I'm really proud of to be a part of it.
It is just such an impressive change when you think 2 wins last year, really tough season. You don't even meet Trent or start training with him until a few days before the tournament starts. It's pretty impressive that you guys have just clicked so quickly. What were those first few meetings like when you first met Trent and Meg came back?
Yeah, I've lucky enough to know Trent since 01. He was our list manager, so I've had a few beers with him over the years, and I've known that he's worked with the men's program quite a bit. So when our first team meeting was, we're not going to be having meetings. Like he keeps things really simple. He's like, we don't need to overcomplicate things. Everyone will know their role when it presents itself to them. So he was just all about believing in ourselves. T20 is about a very attacking game, and yes, it ebbs and flows, and is it like a roller coaster? Like one ball can change a momentum. So we just got to make sure we'll ride those, but make sure we do what we do best, and stick to our guns, really. And I think that's from that moment and that first game we played off, and we actually got the win, which was against Hobart Hurricanes. I think that was our first game that didn't get called off for rain after a few washouts. That was just like, right, we've started, and let's just continue on this ride, and this is how we're going to play, because it was some exciting stuff. And with, you know, the inclusion of Meg back into the team, Catherine Brunt, Nat Siver, one of the best all-rounders in the world, I think they just brought so much energy. And having Nat back when she played 01 and 02 with us, just having her back, she's come back with so much more experience, so much more knowledge. And yes, it's just a really good group to be a part of, and I generally can't stop smiling, and I'm so proud of this group. We've copped a fair bit in the past, and to now really show what we're actually made of and to finish on top of the table, I think it's a real club effort from all the way from the people in the offices to the players and the staff here. I think it's been a really good job.
And you spoke about a bit of the freedom that you guys have been playing with. We've seen that with some of the young players like Tess Flintoff and Sophie Day, just being given the ability to play in those big moments. What's it been like having them sort of, yeah, being given that opportunity?
Great to see someone like Soph, who literally was, I think, it was named as a net bowler last year at the Stars, and to actually come into the team and do as well as she's done. I think she's just learning on the job, which has been great for us. And someone like Tessie, who's like a sponge, who wants to take in as much information and as much advice as possible. I think that's also just, you know, Meg actually giving them the ball in pressure situations to say that she trusts them. You know, like, you're picked in the team because you can play, so obviously you're going to be throwing the ball or the bat at any stage. So, yeah, it's just, I think that we've really built this culture, I guess, around confidence and just believing in yourself. And I'm not saying that we didn't have that in the past, but I think it's being in a hub environment when we literally are kind of stuck together. We have found the balance of being together as a team, but also giving each other space, and that's the beauty of being in a 6-week tournament, pretty condensed as well.
And you spoke about Trent and like his sort of different way of doing things. Is there something like, what does he do at training? Like, is there something you can pinpoint that's sort of different than to what other coaches you've had in the past?
He's really big on us hunting boundaries and being really aggressive with the bat. And that's where whole power hitting of what he's worked with some of the top men like Glenn Maxwell and Marcus Stoinis, players like that who are such explosive, he's trying to filter that into the women's game, and that's been really refreshing, actually, rather than being a bit on the back foot, I guess, not metaphorically or literally, but yeah, I think just having someone who's like all wants to go all out, I think that's how T20 should be, and that's how it's been successful with a team who's been the most aggressive.
And just on your own form, taking bulk wickets, hitting sixes, is this the best season you've had in the WBBL?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm just it was definitely tough missing the first few games of the season, but I knew I was always going to be there for the team and what the team required me, so I made sure I just kept working hard at training and to give myself every opportunity to, if that opportunity does come, that I'm well prepared. And that's what I did, and I'm just, it's just really nice to have like the whole team backing me and knowing that to play to my strengths, really. And yeah, the sixes are coming off because I've done plenty of power hitting work before with my coach Carl Sandry back home. We've been working really hard in the last 18 months to 2 years on that game, and I'm just really happy that it's on, it can be on show this season, and having the backing of Meg and Trent to tell me don't bother blocking it, just absolutely try hit the pickets. I think I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna try hit the pickets every ball here. And it was funny against the Renegades when I left the first ball, it was just running in my mind. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, why am I leaving a ball? And then Meg just came up to me at the end of the game. She's like, none of that, please. Just absolutely swing hard and slog a few, and because you're capable of doing it. And, yeah, I think I'm just having plenty of fun with this group. And we're, yeah, I think that's the main thing. And I've said it before, this group is just having plenty of fun, and that's what's getting the best out of us. Trainings aren't so structured, and it's just giving people the freedom. And, you know, everyone's a professional athlete in the group, so you know what you need to get done. And if you don't know what you need to get out of the session, you ask the question. But some of us, you know, have played long enough that you can kind of be like, right, I just need a hit, or I just need a bowl. And then it's pretty flexible, so not having to, knowing that you've got 3 hour training block, but you don't have to be there for the 3 hours, has just been, yeah, been really good, because it means that you're getting the best out of yourselves in those trainings, and not having to train because you need to train and you need to fill in time. It's all about making sure you're ready for game day.
Do you reckon the Melbourne Stars have embraced the sort of the hub environment possibly more than other teams have? Like, do you think you guys have sort of just gone with it, like this is what it is, and just kind of tried to enjoy it?
Yeah, there was plenty of discussion early on what the hub looks like, how it will feel. And I just think at the start we all stuck together pretty well, because there's no one's been in this environment apart from the Aussie players just before coming into this. But it's a very new season that we were leading into. So, you know, we made sure that we were all there for each other, but made sure we had enough space as well, even though the space could only be your own room, because you eat meals with 300 people, or you try to get a coffee and you're speaking to 10 more people in the line. Like, yeah, I think we've just had a cool head on ourselves, and I think that's what's been really refreshing in the hub. And you can get caught up quite easily in all the drama that's happening, like with other teams and stuff, but we actually don't worry about other teams, or not that we don't, well, yeah, almost like we don't care, but like we were just trying to say, all right, this works for us, let's stick with this. If it's not working, speak up, and you've got 20 people around you to help out in whatever you need.
And what have you guys been doing to entertain yourselves when you're not playing cricket on the Stars floor?
Well, we've been playing a fair bit of cards. Unfortunately, my room is right next to the team room, so if I'm trying to have a quiet, relaxing afternoon in my room, I can hear some screaming and some competitive juices flowing in the room next door. We've had a couple of movie nights, dinners together. Like today, we just actually had a team lunch just to get together to make sure everyone's all good, ready, going into the semi-finals, our first semi-finals appearance. So, yeah, plenty of cards, plenty of dinners together in the team room. And, yeah, we all love to get around each other, and I love to play music as much as possible, so I'll always have my speaker on me, as I've just brought my speaker in here from the gym. So, yeah, I'm always controlling the tunes. Well, I like to take control of what we listen to.
What kind of music do you make the Stars listen to?
Oh, I've had to be pretty diverse in the selection, so I've made a list of a playlist of different types of music that I know everyone would like. Yeah, kind of have to be a crowd pleaser. I can't play all the R&B tunes that I love getting down to or booging to, but I know they appreciate that I love just to, you know, bring the good vibes, and I'll have a bit of a dance, whether it's in warm-up or anything, just because I just love music and I love what it does to people. It just it brings a different side to them and a sense of calmness, I guess, when music's played. And even at trainings, like, it can be pretty intense sometimes. But if you've got some music in the background, I think it just takes people's mind off it for a short while, and then they can refocus on what they need to be doing. So, yeah, I'm going to have to be a crowd pleaser in the music department.
And just talking about your year, you made the big switch from Victoria to WA. What was the reason behind the move, and how did you find your WA preseason?
Yeah, it was a very big decision I had to make, and I've loved being at Victoria for the last 5 years that I've played for them. But Meg's actually quite spoilt for choice in the bowlers she has, and she's got six Australian bowlers in the team, which is phenomenal for Cricket Victoria, and hats off to them for, you know, creating those players. But it was just an opportunity to bowl a bit more, and I just wanted, to bowl a bit more overs in the 50 over game, and it was obviously hard because Meg had Soph, Molly, Wareham as well, just the spinners who are in the Aussie squad as well. So even when I did get my opportunity, I was grateful for. I was still sitting in the best 11, but yeah, it was just a decision that I had to make, and hope that it bettered my cricket. And since moving over there, I think it just refreshed me quite a lot. And I think I've actually just come into this environment really refreshed, loving cricket. And yeah, worked really hard in the off season in WA with the coach, Becky Grundy. She's a spinner as well, so been doing a bit of work with her, with Bo Casson as well. And it's just a really good group of girls there. We're all around similar age. You got some who are a little bit older and some really young ones, but I guess I've played with some of those girls in junior tournaments and in Aussie stuff before. So it was just, yeah, I think it was just a nice refresh environment, and just a really good group of girls and support staff over in WA.
Was it a hard decision to make, moving away from your family and your friends and stuff like that? And what's different about living in Perth compared to Melbourne?
Yeah, it was hard moving across the country, but I actually have some family in Perth, so it actually made it easier, especially for mum and dad, knowing that I'll have some family over in the west, and I'm actually currently living with them at the moment. So just to find my feet in a new city. I know my cousins are loving me having B over there, which is awesome. But yeah, I think living situation, it's a very chilled environment. It's a relaxed lifestyle and actually suits me really well. They say there's traffic in Perth. I'm yet to witness it, because I think their traffic is maybe a 3-minute hold up on the highways. But yeah, I think it's just it's almost like a backward city, but I love it because everyone's quite relaxed. They've got some beautiful beaches, and it's such a big city that it's actually not overpopulated. So there's plenty of ground to cover in WA, and I'd love to travel both north and south of WA.
And you've spoken before about your ambitions to one day crack the Australian team. What do you think you need to do to get to that next level?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to be putting on the green and gold one day, but I think it's just tweaking areas in my game, whether it's in all like the batting, bowling and fielding point of view, but it's also like the fitness side of things, the strength side of things. I'm working really hard on those aspects to ensure that, you know, I'm putting myself in a good position. It's quite hard, like, because I'm not a runner. Like, I hate running, but I know I've got to do it to actually get better. So that's one thing that's been my focus going over to WA. I've wanted to improve that side of things. And, you know, once I see some improvement, I know it's going to put me in good stead and hopefully put my name in some headlights, which will be really nice to see.
And we've spoken about the change at the Stars from WBBL 01 to WBBL 06. What about yourself? How do you see yourself as changing and evolving as a player in that time?
Yeah, it's a good question. Looking back to how I was bowling in 01, I was a very inexperienced leg spinner, but I was given the chance to play, which was something that I'll always be grateful for. But I think these days in T20 cricket, the girls are getting a lot stronger, a lot quicker, which means you've got to evolve your game. And if I keep bowling these juicy full tosses pretty much, you're just going to get pretty much picked out. So I've really worked hard on bowling more into the wicket with a bit more energy at the crease, and that's what's helped me this season. Like, leg spinners are still going to get hit. That's the nature of the game, but you're still putting yourself in an attacking position and trying to still be that attacking bowler, which is going to create chances and wickets. And, yeah, I think that's the biggest thing that have had to continue improving every year is that, right, batters are going to keep coming hard at me, so how can I improve my game so they're actually hitting to the areas that I want them to hit? And even having chats with Meg this year, even with Elise Villani as well, we've had some really good chats on what's actually a good length for me in this tournament and where I want to be hit. So, yeah, I think they – and, like, Meg will remind me at the top of my mark what she wants me to do. And, yeah, you just sometimes need that reminder because you just don't want to be fishing for wickets as soon as you do that. And I've done that in the past. You actually lose sight of what you're actually – what your job's there to do. So, yeah, they've been a really good support. And even Trent – speaking to Trent about leg spin as well, he's worked with Zamps. And I tap into his knowledge as well because I'll tap into resources that I haven't come across because I want to compile all my notes on what works for me and see what's worked for other spinners in the past. So having his knowledge on Adam Zampa and what's been successful, you know, I can put into my game and try different things as well. So, yeah, he's also helped in a bowling point of view as well.
And just lastly, Kingy, we've seen so many clubs and so many players being proactive in taking a stand against racism, coming together. We've seen yourself taking a knee. Are you able to just tell us a little bit about your motivations for doing this and why it's a cause you feel so strongly about?
Yeah, absolutely. I think just being a person of colour, like I think we're exposed to a little bit more racism than what your average Joe is. And, yeah, being a victim of racism in the past, like having my family being victims of racism in the past, I'm, like, really strong about it because I've been in that situation, so you kind of know what's happening. And yeah, I guess what's happening around the world at the moment, it's really stirred I guess the conversation. But I'm glad that, you know, we had the opportunity to do that, and the Stars were all behind it as well, and they were supporting me, and which was awesome. So when you have an organisation such as the Stars, which is a really well-known, not just in Australia but around the world, supporting that cause, I think it just shows where this club sits and what they stand for. So, yeah, it's something that I'll always be a big believer, passion for. So, yeah, that's pretty much where I stand in it.
Kingy, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on The Scoop. Thank you for joining us, and we wish you all the very best for the WBBL finals. Alrighty, we're here again with Kristen Beams. Beamsy, we've got 56 matches of the regular season done and dusted. Got our semi-finalists locked in. After a super exciting weekend of cricket, what was your favourite moment?
Well, my personal favourite moment is probably not everyone's favourite moment, but the Stars being the first team to qualify for the WBBL finals was a very personal highlight for me. But I think in terms of performance, it'd be hard to go past Elisa Healy's 100. I think that was something very special, and I'm glad that the fans got to see that before the Sixers bowed out.
Yeah, and before we get stuck into the semi-final matchups, we were discussing recently what we think the gap between the international that we think the gap between internationals and local players is getting smaller, with people like Courtney Webb, Tennille Peschel, Maddie Penner and Laura Kimmetts performing as genuine match winners on multiple occasions. Do you reckon that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, I do. And I think the Brisbane Heat are a really interesting example for that for me, is that they've always prioritised their domestic players over their international players. And we've seen them sit their international stars out. And it nearly seems like the Heat were a little bit ahead of the curve and giving those opportunities. So for that reason, I think it's not a surprise that we're seeing the Heat now in the semi-finals. And I think we'll see more and more teams do that. We're actually going to prioritise in the batting lineup where our domestic players are, because we know they can play as good a role. And we know that we're actually more likely to hold on to our domestic talent with our international players moving in and out. So I think it's a very fair assessment. And I think we'll see teams shift the way the teams roll over the next couple of WBBLs.
Yeah, it's just going to get better and better. And now we've got an absolute cracker to look forward to on Wednesday night with the Stars taking on the Scorchers under lights at North Sydney Oval. What do you think has to happen for your Melbourne Stars to get across the line there?
Oh, I think it's going to be about their big players. And I think there's been a couple of little sort of combinations that have worked really well. I really like the Lanning-Siver combination. I think we've talked a lot about Lanning and Villani, but I think that Nat Siver is playing a really crucial role for the Stars at the moment, and her strike rate's excellent, but they've got a really nice sort of partnership and they play really differently. So I think those two players firing is going to be really key. And I think it's going to be also about the leadership role that Catherine Brunt plays for the Stars. I think if she's really good up front, I think all the other bowlers in that lineup can just do the job that is required. And I think that's important for the Stars.
And conversely, I think we saw the Scorchers have a pretty bad, dramatic collapse yesterday afternoon. What do they need to do to upset the Stars?
Well, hopefully get Heather Graham back into the side. I think she was a massive loss in that middle order. I think she would have just held that innings together a little bit nicer. So I think she's going to be really key. And I think if Mooney and Devine get a start, I think we really need to see them go deep within the innings and one of them really take it on if the Scorchers are going to be successful, just so they can allow the players in and around them, whether it be Paparo, Bolton, Heather Graham, to play those cameo roles in and around one of them. But when they both go in quick succession, I think it makes it pretty challenging for the Scorchers to keep that momentum going.
And then on Thursday night, Sydney Thunder versus the two-time champions, Brisbane Heat. If the Heat are on 7 wins in a row, heaps of momentum, what do you think they need to get right to beat the Thunder?
Yeah, I think they've just got to roll with that momentum and keep playing without fear. I think when we're talking about Alora Commence and the way that she's been batting and Grace Harris, Jess Jonathan, I think they've just got to make sure they don't pull the handbrake on at any point. They've just got to keep playing that free-flowing cricket that they have been playing. I think their dilemma is probably going to be more from a bowling point of view. We've seen bowlers coming in and out of their lineup, especially their pacey. So what combination they want to go with? Georgia Prestwich was outstanding the other day and took 4 wickets. How do you leave her out of a semi-final side? So I think it'll be getting the right matchups against the Thunder. That's going to be pretty key for that Heat bowling lineup. If they can do that, I think they'll be very hard to beat.
And on the other hand, what do you think the Thunder need to do to get into that final?
It's been all about Haynes and Knight for me. I think they both have to fire. I think if they can do that, it sets them up really nicely. And Ishmael's spell the other day was very fast, and I think she's going to have to produce another spell like that if the Thunder are going to be successful, and it just allows their spinners to come in and take wickets through the middle order, which they've been very successful at doing.
And chatting about some of the teams that aren't going to be there this week, what did you make of the Sixers missing out for a second year in a row?
Yeah, I've been saying the whole time that the Sixers only needed to make the final to potentially win it, and I think that what that performance that we saw against the Stars probably showed that. I think what they're capable of, and they're probably just regretting a couple of games in that middle that if they'd have got over the line there, I think we would be nearly talking about them as being the favourites to take out the title at this point in time with the performance that they had. So they're probably just ruining a few games in the middle where they didn't quite get it right. I think Ash Garner not being able to participate at the back end really kind of hurt them. But look, I think they've got a great list. I don't think they need to do too much differently. I think if they've got the same list next year, we'll be sitting here saying that we think that they're going to be a top 4 side. So I think people will talk about it because it's 2 years in a row, but I think they've probably just been unlucky at the back end.
Yeah. Well, from your perspective, like you say, you don't think they'll see much of a list change, but do you think there is something that needs to change within the squad?
I don't think so. I think they've got really nice diversity within their team, and they've got some really great young players. So when we think about another year into all of those young players, they're an even better side in the same way that I think the Stars young players have been better this season than what they were last year, with just another preseason under the belt, Annabelle Sutherland being a good example of that. So another year into Stella Campbell, Hayley Silver-Holmes, these sorts of players, I think it's only going to make them stronger. So I think they can probably guarantee, Lauren Sheed was probably another example as well. I think they can guarantee that they're going to be stronger next year. So I wouldn't spend too much time thinking about it if I was the Sixers.
Fair enough. And moving on to Hobart, how would you sum up their season and what might they need to tweak going forward?
Yeah, I think recruitment's going to be massive for them. I think they were probably unlucky with some injuries. I think it's going to be a lot about taking the best out of what was a pretty challenging season. I think Amy Smith was outstanding. I think Rachel Priest, they'd be getting her signature pretty sharply. I think whatever she does on field is really important, but what she does off field is just as important. I think she's a great leader, and I think when we've got a young team from Hobart and they're going to have potentially a different group as well, I think you need that really good leadership. So I think Priest is pretty key to that. And Amy Smith, you add in the return of Maisie Gibson and Taylor Vlaminck, they've all of a sudden got a little base, but I think they're going to have to find a way to get a little bit more out of their batting lineup, and probably looking at some other options that are going to complement Vakariwa, Gibson, Vlaminck, Smith next season.
And onto the Melbourne Renegades. They were another team that had a bit of a rough trot with injuries, but we saw what they were capable of on Saturday night at North Sydney Oval with Lizelle Lee leading them to a stunning win over the Sixers. What do you think might have to change in the Renegades camp for them to get back in the semi-finals?
Well, I've got my fingers crossed that Jess definitely is going to come back and play next season. I think she was very critical for them in that middle order. And when we've got the likes of Lizelle Lee up top and Sophie Molyneux, and you know, I think it becomes easier if a Jess Cameron all of a sudden is coming in at 4 and 5. So I think having that middle order batter, if Jess Duffin doesn't come back and play, then they need to find another option in that middle order to set them up. And from a bowling point of view, I think they've still got the best spinners. I reckon if they could add one more pacey to that lineup, maybe an out and out quick, I think that they would be very, very successful next season.
And obviously the strikers were missing Susie Bates for almost the entire season, which was a huge loss. How else would you assess their season?
Oh, I think they were pretty good for having such a big injury and having the players in their middle really stepped up. So I think that we can sort of assume that their middle is actually pretty good. With the addition of Maddie Penner, I thought Tegan McFarlane was very good as well. Amanda Wellington has stepped up into a batting spot. It's probably going to be more about their overseas players. I thought Woolvart was excellent, and hopefully Susie Bates in there. But I think they need to probably get a little bit more out of their international players to complement what they've got. They know they have Megan Shute, who is world-class, but I think maybe a top-order batter might have just taken the pressure off them from a consistency point of view, which goes a long way to getting into WBBL finals.
Yeah, there definitely wasn't a lot separating the 8 teams this year, which was very good viewing. Now, Beamsy, do you dare predict a finals matchup?
Oh, well, I have to put the Stars in that. There's no doubt about that. But I think it'll be a Stars heat. I think that's the final we all want in our hearts. I think to see those two teams, they had a great clash the other night, and I think they play the game really differently. So to have two teams in the WBBL final that are going to go in two completely different ways to try and win it, I think will be really good viewing. So I've got my fingers crossed for a Stars heat.
Beamsy, thank you as always for joining us on The Scoop. We can't wait for the finals. It's going to be an epic week, and we'll chat to you next week.
Beauty. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of The Scoop.
Make sure you tune into the 2 semi-finals on Wednesday and Thursday, and of course the final on Saturday. They'll be free to air on the 7 Network. You can tune in on Foxtel, KO, or you can listen in on ABC Radio.
Healy's away, Australia away.
Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanny.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
Jonathan strikes again. She's on a hat-trick. She comes at Molyneux. Catch is taken by Perry.
The Australian women's cricket team win their 5th T20 World Cup title in front of a magical crowd.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.